Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman. Remember by Avram Golder and today Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Tes Zayin. The first parak Dina Mamonos B'Shlosha. The Zichu Maseches Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichu Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah taught that a Shevet is judged by the Sanhedrin of 71 Dayanim, and the Gemara seeks to identify the case. If they were Machal Shabbos, they would each be judged like an ordinary individual with 23 judges. If they served the Avodah Zarah, where we find that an Irni Dachas is judged by Sanhedrin, all Tanaim agree this does not apply to an entire Shevet. Rav Masna explains it refers to the Nasi of a Shevet. His judgment requires Sanhedrin because Kol Davar Hagadol, every great matter which was brought to Moshe, who was equal to Sanhedrin, is darshan to include Devarav Shel Gadol, the matters of a great person. After another interpretation is rejected, Ravina answers that the Mishnah refers to an entire Shevet which served Avodah Zarah. Despite not having the law of Irni Dachas, so they are stoned, not beheaded, they still must be judged by Sanhedrin. For just as we darshan mahotseitza is a isha hu, or as a isha hi, you shall take out that man or that woman to teach, ish vi isha atamotzi usharecha, an individual man or woman, you shall take out to your gates, a basin of 23, but an entire city requires Sanhedrin, so too an entire Shevet's judgment requires Sanhedrin. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that a melchemes reshus, optional war, requires the consent of Sanhedrin. The Gemara derives this from Shimon Chasida's statement. He taught that a harp hung over David's bed, and the north wind would blow on it at midnight, causing the harp to play. Immediately, David would rise and go in Torah until the morning. At that point, the wise men of Israel would enter and say, Adonenu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim L'Farnasa, our master, the king, your nation, Yisrael, needs sustenance. He replied that they should be supported by each other through charity, but they responded, Eina Kometz Maspia Sa'ari, a mere handful of food does not satisfy the lion. Veina Bor Mismala Mechuyoso, and a pit cannot be filled from its own dirt, meaning we cannot provide for all our poor. David then said to wage war against four nations to obtain sustenance. Immediately they consulted Achitophel for advice, requested the Sanhedrin's permission, and asked the Urim Tumim if they would succeed, as the Gemara proceeds to show from Sukkim. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that a border city cannot be declared an Ir HaNidachas, which the Gemara darshans from Mir Kirbecha, from your midst, excluding the border area. Further, Abraisa explains a practical reason. Shema Yishmu Nachrim Yachrivu as Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps Goyim will hear about the unprotected border and destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara explains this Tana is Rabbi Shimon who darshan's reasons for laws taught by Psukim. The Mishnah taught that three cities cannot be declared Ari HaNidachas because the Pasuk says Achas, one. Still, two cities can be declared Ari HaNidachas because the plural of Irecha, your cities, includes two cities. At times, Rav would say that three Ari HaNidachas can only be declared by a single Sanhedrin, but multiple Sanhedrins can declare a total of three. At other times, Rav said even multiple courts cannot declare three Ari HaNidachas Mishum Karcha because it would result in a large area of desolation in Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish says that three such cities can be declared across multiple areas, but Rav Yochanan holds they cannot, which is supported by a Braisa. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah taught that a Shevet is judged by the Sanhedrin of 71 judges, and the Gemara seeks to identify the case. If they were Machal Shabbos, they would each be judged like an ordinary individual with 23 judges. If they served the Avodah Zarah, where we find that an Irni Dachas is judged by Sanhedrin, all Tanaim agree this does not apply to an entire Shevet. Rav Masna explains it refers to the Nasi of a Shevet. His judgment requires Sanhedrin because Kol Davar Hagadol, every great matter which was brought to Moshe, who was equal to Sanhedrin, is darshan to include Devarav Shel Gadol, the matters of a great person. After another interpretation is rejected, Ravina answers that the Mishnah refers to an entire Shevet which served Avodah Zarah. Despite not having the law of Irni Dachas, so they are stoned, not beheaded, they still must be judged by Sanhedrin. For just as we darshan mahotseitza is a isha hu, or as a isha hi, you shall take out that man or that woman to teach, ish vi isha atamotzi usharecha, an individual man or woman, you shall take out to your gates, a basin of 23, but an entire city requires Sanhedrin, so too an entire Shevet's judgment requires Sanhedrin. Point number two, the Mishnah taught that a melchemes reshus, optional war, requires the consent of Sanhedrin. The Gemara derives this from Shimon Chasida's statement. He taught that a harp hung over David's bed, and the north wind would blow on it at midnight, causing the harp to play. immediately dove would rise and go and tour until the morning. At that point, the wise men of Yisrael would enter and say, Adonenu HaMelech, Amcha Yisrael, Tzrichim L'Farnasa. Our master, the king, your nation, Yisrael, needs sustenance. He replied that they should be supported by each other through charity, but they responded, Eina komets maspia sa'ari. A mere handful of food does not satisfy the lion. Veina bor mismala mechuyoso. And a pit cannot be filled from its own dirt, meaning we cannot provide for all our poor. David then said to wage war against foreign nations to obtain sustenance. Immediately they consulted Achitophel for advice, requested the Sanhedrin's permission, and asked the Urim Tumim if they would succeed, as the Gemara proceeds to show from Psukim. And point number three, the Mishnah taught that a border city cannot be declared an Ir HaNidachas, which the Gemara darshans from Mir Kirbecha, from your midst, excluding the border area. Further, Abraisa explains a practical reason. Shema Yishmu Nachrim Yachrivu es Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps Goyim will hear about the unprotected border and destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara explains this Tana is Rabbi Shimon who darshan's reasons for laws taught by Psukim. The Mishnah taught that three cities cannot be declared Ari HaNidachas because the Pasuk says Achas, one. Still, two cities can be declared Ari HaNidachas because the plural of Irecha, your cities, includes two cities. At times, Rav would say that three Ari HaNidachas can only be declared by a single Sanhedrin, but multiple Sanhedrins can declare a total of three. At other times, Rav said even multiple courts cannot declare three Ari HaNidachas Mishum Karcha because it would result in a large area of desolation in Eretz Yisrael. Rish Lakish says that three such cities can be declared across multiple areas, but Rav Yochanan holds they cannot, which is supported by a Braisa. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Tes Zayin, and our standard Siman is toes, and we often use an acrobat with large toes. So here goes. The acrobat with large toes performing for an entire shevet, awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, swung over soldiers on their way to request permission from the Sanhedrin to go to war for the spoils, who were coming from a city spared from being an Ir HaNidachas because it was near the border. Once again, slow motion. The acrobat with large toes. Acrobat with large toes? That must be Siman Daf Tes Zayin. The acrobat with large toes performing for an entire shevet awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, which reminds us we learned that an entire shevet which served Avodah Zorah is judged by a Sanhedrin of 71. So the acrobat with large toes performing for an entire shevet awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, swung over soldiers on their way to request permission from the Sanhedrin to go to war for the spoils, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that in Melchemes of Rishus, an optional war requires the consent of Sanhedrin. The Gemara derives this from Rabbi Shimon Chasida's statement, who taught that a harp hung above David's bed, and the north wind would blow on it at midnight, causing the harp to play. Immediately, David would rise and go in Torah until the morning, and then when he was told the nation required a panasa, David then said to wage war against foreign nations to obtain sustenance. Immediately, they consulted Achitophel for advice, requested the Sanhedrin's permission, and asked the Urim Tumim if they would succeed. So, the acrobat with large toes performing for an entire shevet, awaiting their judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, swung over soldiers on their way to request permission from the Sanhedrin to go to war for the spoils, who were coming from a city spared from being an Ir HaNidachas because it was near the border, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that a border city cannot be declared an Ir HaNidachas, which the Gemara darshans from Mir Kirbecha, from your midst, excluding the border area. Further, a Braisa gives a practical reason, Shemi Yishmu Nachrim Yachrivu as Eretz Yisrael. Perhaps Goyim will hear about the unprotected border and destroy Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara explains this Tana is Rabbi Shimon, who darshans reasons for laws taught by Psukim. So once again, the acrobat with large toes performing for an entire shevet, awaiting the judgment for serving Avodah Zorah from a Sanhedrin of 71, swung over soldiers on their way to request permission from the Sanhedrin to go to war for the spoils, who were coming from a city spared from being an Ir HaNidachas because it was near the border. All right, so now it's time for four blah back Chazar. Daf Yud Beis. So the Siman Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. The 12 brothers. 12 brothers? That must be one Daf Yud Beis. The 12 brothers playing the Ibra Hashanah game, who called one of the brothers out when he was Ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Ein Ma'abrinus Hashanah lifnei Rosh Hashanah. We do not extend the year before Rosh Hashanah. If they did, it's ineffective. If an extension would be announced so early, it may be forgotten by other Sheni, leading people to eat chametz on the actual Pesach. In cases of urgent need, where they may not find qualified judges, or a foreign power may later prevent them, they can be Ma'aber the year immediately after Rosh Hashanah. So the 12 brothers playing the Ibra Hashanah game and called one of the brothers out when he was Ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah, started to argue why the brother dressed as a king was out, whether it was that he was Ma'aber because he said they were all Tameh, which reminds us, the Gemara brings him out chokas about being Ma'aber the year because of Tumah. A Brisa states, Ein Ma'abrin es Hashanah b'fnei HaTumah. We do not extend the year because of Tumah of a majority of Jews at the time of the Karban Pesach. Rav Yehuda holds that although someone Tameh may not bring Karbanos, Tumah hutra b'tzibur. Tumah is permitted for the community, meaning when a communal carbon must be brought, and most Jews are tamei. Since it's permitted outright and not duchuya, it's not pushed aside, there's no need to ma'abr the year, and he holds it is ineffective if they did so. Rav Yehuda supported his position from the incident in which Chizkiyah HaMelech extended the year because of Tumah, u'bikesh rachamim al atzmo, and he begged Hashem to have mercy on him when he realized his error, because communal Tumah is hutra for Karban Pesach, and the year should not have been extended. So the 12 brothers playing the Ibra Hashanah game, who called one of the brothers out when he was Ma'aber before Rosh Hashanah, started to argue why the brother dressed as a king was out, whether it was that he was Ma'aber because he said they were all Tameh, or because he was Ma'aber on the 30th day of Adar, which reminds us, the Gemara brings a second explanation of Chizkiyah's mistake, that he was Ma'aber the year on the 30th day of Adar. His error was about Shmuel's ruling that we cannot extend the year on the 30th day of Adar, since it's able to be designated as Nisan. Chizkiyah was Ma'aber the year on the 30th of Adar because he didn't hold of Shmuel's ruling, but later retracted. Daf Yud Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah Bacher. So here goes. The Bar Mitzvah boy. Bar Mitzvah boy, that must be on Daf Yud Gimel. The Bar Mitzvah boy totally lost the crowd when he darshaned about the day of the Tishrei season, falling out in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tekufa Gomer, or Maschil, which reminds us, the Gemara brings the Machlokes about Ibur Shana to ensure the autumn Tekufa is in Chag HaAsif. So the Bar Mitzvah boy totally lost the crowd when he darshaned about the day of the Tishrei season, falling out in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tekufa Gomer, or Maschil. And when he changed tracks and explained how the Nisan season, falling out after 14 days in Nisan, gives us a leap year, which reminds us more, brings the fifth opinion that Tekufa's Nisan must fall in the renewal of Nisan. So the Bar Mitzvah boy totally lost the crowd when he darshaned about the day of the Tishrei season, falling out in Chol HaMoed and Yom Tekufa Gomer, or Maschil. And when he changed tracks and explained how the Nisan season falling out after the 14 days in Nisan gives us a leap year, three rabbis got up from the head table and called him Rebbe, giving him smicha, which reminds us, Rav Acha Brei de Rava asked Rav Ashi if the one giving smicha must literally lean his hand on the one receiving smicha. And he answered, no, they ordain him by giving a title. They call him Rebbe, and they give him permission to judge Dine Kanasos. Daf Yadal, so the simmer Daf Yadal relates to Yad hand, and we use a juggler for the simmer. So here goes. The juggler, that must be on Daf Yud, hand, juggler. The juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, which reminds us, Gemara relates how Rav Yehuda ben Vava sacrificed his life to perpetuate smicha when he gave it to five zekanim and was subsequently killed by the Romans, who drove 300 spears into him. So the juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, who only did the smicha routine in Eretz Yisrael for audiences in Eretz Yisrael, which reminds us, we learned that smicha can only be given if both the party giving the smicha and the parties receiving the smicha are in Eretz Yisrael. So the juggler juggling spears and five pins with the names of great rabbis with smicha on them, who only did the smicha routine in Eretz Yisrael for audiences in Eretz Yisrael, almost dropped one of his pins when he was shocked seeing the entire Sanhedrin walk by on their way to measure for an egla arufa, which reminds us, the Gemara brings machlokes about the number of dayanim for egla arufa, and the third opinion requires the entire Sanhedrin to come to measure for it. Daf Tezvav, so the Siman Daf Tezvav relates to Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl. So here goes. The man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl, that must be on Daf Tezvav, Tu B'Shvat, fruit bowl. The man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Arkin Metaltalin, Arkin, which are movable items, are appraised by three judges. The Gemara said fixed Arkin only apply to people, and three interpretations are given. The third one is Rabbi Yavo, who explains that someone said Erech Yalai, my Erech value is upon me, and his assets are being collected as payment. If his metaltalin are collected, they are appraised by three people. Ravina was asked why an accurate appraisal is critical in this final interpretation, which is bringing in an item to Hekdesh. He replied, it's a svara. What's the difference between bringing something into Hekdesh and removing it, meaning redeeming it? Just as redeeming requires three judges to prevent a mistaken loss to Hekdesh, bringing items into Hekdesh to pay a debt requires an accurate appraisal to avoid errors. So the man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Deme Yalai, who was waiting for 10 men to appraise his value, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that Adam, a person requires 10 people to be appraised for Hekdesh. Since a person cannot become Hekdesh, Rabbi Yavo explains it refers to one who said Deme Yalai, my value is upon me. A Braisa teaches that the person is appraised like a slave being sold in the market, and since Avadim are compared with a Hekdesh to land, 10 appraisers are required. So, the man who said Erech Yalai, whose fruit bowl was being appraised for payment by three judges, was standing next to a man who had said Deme Yalai, who was waiting for 10 people to appraise his value, who was almost run over by a man trying to kill a lion that killed a person, which reminds us, in the Mishnah, the Tanakhama said that lions, wolves, and other dangerous animals also required 23 judges to put them to death for killing someone. Rabbi Eliezer says, Kol kodem horgan zacha, whoever is first to kill them merits, and no judges are required. Reish Lakish clarifies, Vahusha himisu, this applies only if they actually killed someone, but Rabbi Eliezer agrees they are not killed if they never killed a person. He holds, Yesh en tarbus v'yesh en balim, these animals can be tamed and do have owners. Rabbi Yochanan holds they can be killed outright, even if they never killed anyone, because he holds they could not be tamed and have no owners. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff do you in a border city cannot be declared an Ir Nidachas? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number two, which stuff do you about Chizki HaMelech's mistake about being Ma'abir the Shana because of Tumah, since Tumah Hutra B'tzibur? That's on Daf Yud Beis. Good. Number three, which daf do you sources for the Machlokas if Malchus requires a basin of 3 or 23? That's on Daf Yud. Good. Number four, which daf do you learn that if someone said Erech Yalai, my Erech value is upon me, if his metaltin is collected for payment, it is appraised by 3 people? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. Number five, which daf do you learn that 3 factors considered for extending the year are Aviv, Peres, Elan, and Tekufa? That's on Daf Yid Aleph. Number six, which of the one of Milchemas Rishus, an optional war, requires the consent of Sanhedrin? That's on Daf Tezayin. Number seven, which of the one about how Rabbi Yudah ben Vava sacrificed his life to perpetuate Smicha? That's on Daf Yid Aleph. Number eight, which of the one an entire Shevet which served Avodah Zorah is judged by Sanhedrin of 71? That's on Daf Tezayin. Good. Number nine, which of the according to Eliezer, lions and wolves are only killed by someone if they killed someone first? That's on Daf Tezvav. Good. And number 10, which of the one about Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's requirement of 3, 5, and 7 Dayanim for Ibar Shana? That's on Daf Yud. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.